Welcome to another program of Heart and Soul, playing the music of the church throughout the ages, from ancient modern hymns to songs of praise and worship from the early days to the songs of today. Heart and Soul comes to you each week with a Bible message also to encourage and challenge you. Now, here is your host for today's program, Jan Baker.
Hello, this is Heart and Soul and I'm Jan Baker. This hour you'll hear a word about the persecuted, and it's not all bad. And we'll have some of the best music of the church throughout the ages for you. Music like this one from Don Marsh Orchestra and Chorus.
Ezekiel went down in the middle of the field. He saw an angel working on a chariot wheel. Wasn't so particular about the chariot wheel. Just wanted to see how a chariot feels. Why don't you swing
down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride? Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy. Well, I've got home.
Ezekiel went down and got on board. Chariot went a bumping on down the road. Zeke wasn't so particular about the bumping of the road. Just wanted to lay down his heavy load.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride?
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy.
Well, I've got a home. Well, I got a father in the promised land.
He ain't gonna stop until I shake his hand.
Rock me, Lord, come and easy. I've got a home on the other side.
Why don't you swing down, sweet chariot, stop and let me ride.
Swing down, chariot, stop and let me ride. Rock me, Lord, come and easy.
Well, I got a home on the other side.
yes, Elvis Presley, no less, backed by the Jordanaires. Elvis did a lot for gospel music with groups like the Jordanaires and the Stamps. He did a lot to popularise that style of music with different audiences too. You're listening to Heart and Soul, and our next singer's last name is Carlson, but when she sings Christian music, it's just Evie.
Blessing fall on me.
Jesus, what a beautiful name, a great worship song. You're listening to the music of the church throughout the ages with Heart and Soul. Fine Christian music needs the finest of voices to sing it, and these are two such voices. First, the evergreen voice of George Beverly Shea, and then Kenneth McKellar.
I walk today where Jesus walked in days of long ago. I wandered down each path he knew with reverent step and slow.
Oh,
Kenneth McKellar recorded at Paisley Abbey in 1967, Eye to the Hills. Well, another person who recorded a lot of Christian music and had a television program was Tennessee Ernie Ford.
You know, if there's one universal language today, it's music, particularly songs of inspiration. The music of a nation's hymns conveys an emotion that is easily understood by all. Certainly, there's no other man-made thing more capable of inspiration.
Face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see. Now I see Him with the darkening veil between. But a blessed day is coming when His glory shall be seen. I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see. Blissful moment, face to face to see and know, face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so. I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory I shall see Him by and by.
Strengthen me, my Lord, and
That's the beautiful Sabbath prayer sung by Sister Janet Mead. More of Heart and Soul soon, including the good news about persecution. Before we hear from our speaker, let's listen to this one from Kingsway Music. Our speaker today is the Reverend David Evans.
A very real blessing in the Beatitude that says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." You know, the eighth beatitude just seems to be out of place until we see the logical order in the beatitudes. First of all, if you go through them, you'll see the recognition of need. For example, the poor in spirit, they that mourn, and the meek. There is secondly the satisfaction of need, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There are also the indications of satisfaction, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers. The poor in spirit are the most likely to be merciful. They who mourn become pure in heart, and the meek are the peacemakers. And then, of course, there is the outcome, living the Christian life without compromise and therefore being persecuted. The first seven Beatitudes describe the Christian directly, and the eighth describes the Christian indirectly. The eighth indicates what is sure to happen to the Christian in whose life the other seven are evident. The same promise is given for the first and the last Beatitude, and that is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. From the first to the last, they describe the kingdom citizen. Now, not all persecution is blessed. Jesus said, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Well, some suffer persecution because they are difficult. They are, so to speak, born in the objective mood and the kickative case. Secondly, some are persecuted because they are foolish. They lack the ability to manage and they have poor judgment. Others are persecuted because of self-righteousness. Praise God, I haven't sinned in 50 years, cried the self-righteous saint in a testimony meeting. No wonder she suffered persecution. There is a vast difference between being offensive by self-righteousness and causing an offense because of righteousness. Some are persecuted for wrongdoing. Peter admonished us not to suffer persecution as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, and we would agree with all of those, but then he adds another one to throw a spanner in the works. Don't you be persecuted, he said, because you have been a busybody in other men's matters. Many dedicated Christians suffer persecution because they are busybodies, never minding their own business but getting involved in the affairs of others and carrying tales. No one suffers more than the person who cannot seem to keep his nose out of other people's business. The person from whose mouth the venom of criticism flows freely is usually persecuted by the world and certainly not invited to the best of parties. But then there is persecution for righteousness. What kind of persecution is blessed? Well, when a person is persecuted for being like Christ. Jesus said, if they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And Paul said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus was reviled. Some said he was mad. He was mocked on the cross, but he did not retaliate. Jesus was persecuted. Also, even as a child, he suffered persecution from Herod. Throughout his public ministry, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Herodians, and the Sadducees caused him much persecution. At his crucifixion, they scourged him, spit on him, slapped him, and cursed him. All manner of evil was said against Jesus falsely. Throughout his ministry, the Pharisees accused him falsely, even to the point of claiming that he had cast out demons by the prince of demons, Beelzebub. Before his crucifixion, he endured illegal trials by both Jews and Romans. False witnesses testified against him. When a person is persecuted because he is willing to live by his faith, Paul spoke of the apostles' persecution in these terms. We are made a spectacle unto the world. We are fools for Christ. We are despised. We both hunger and thirst. We're naked and buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. Being reviled, we are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things. When a person reads the early accounts of persecution, he is prone to ask, does the modern Christian suffer persecution at all? In the first century, Christians were flung to the lions or burnt at the stake. Nero wrapped some Christians in pitch and set them afire to use as living torches to light his gardens. Hot malted lead was poured hissing down the backs of some. Others had their eyes torn out, hands and feet were burned, while cold water was poured over their bodies. Persecution for righteousness happens when a person is persecuted because he is willing to die for his faith. It is no accident that the Greek word for martyr is also translated as witness. When one is willing to live his faith even to the point of death, he is persecuted for righteousness' sake. Again, the early Christians challenge us at this point. Accounts reveal that some were shut up in sacks of snakes and thrown into the river. Some were tied to huge stones and thrown into the river. Some were hanged from trees and beaten with rods. Others were tied to catapults or wild horses and wrenched limb from limb. Still others were tied to the horns of wild beasts or tied up in nets and charged by bulls. They were not only willing to live by their faith, but also to die for their faith. If you really want to read a resource which will show you how so many were persecuted for righteousness' sake, get a hold of the book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you will get a classic description there of all of the evil that happened to believers down through the centuries. Now, why is persecution blessed? Well, it's blessed because it tells the Christian who he is. Sacrifice to Caesar or die, the Roman judge told Polycarp, the aged bishop of Smyrna. His reply was classic. Listen to the words. He said, 86 years have I served Christ, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? When the Christian suffers persecution, he or she is assured that the same treatment was given Christians of other ages. Persecution is a painful reminder to the persecuted that he too is numbered with the saints of all ages who have suffered because of their righteousness in Christ. Why is persecution blessed? Because it tells the Christian where he is going. His dwelling place is in heaven. Such a realization brings joy in persecution and makes it blessed. And finally, a Christian is blessed through persecution because it tells him what is waiting for him in heaven. His reward will be great. During the Depression years, a lonely Christian who had lost his job, his fortune, his wife and his home was aimlessly walking the streets. He had continued to live the Christian life even in the face of persecution by his friends. He happened upon some stone workers who were working on a large church, and he was particularly interested in one man who was chiselling on a triangular piece of stone that just did not seem to fit anywhere in the building. When asked about it, the workman replied, "See that little opening away up there near the spire? Well, I'm shaping this down here so that it will fit up there." Tears filled his eyes as he walked away, realizing that his persecution on earth was shaping him for heaven. Jesus said on one occasion, "You have not yet resisted unto blood." Maybe we, in the Western countries in which we live, have not experienced the painful terrors of the persecution that some of our brothers and sisters overseas have experienced, even down to the shedding of their blood. But there is a sense in which we can be persecuted if we will stand up and let that persecution be for righteousness' sake. Let us not be suffering because we've been doing the wrong thing. Jesus calls us all the tumult of our lives while restless sea, and he calls us to live the life exemplifying the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And if we will live the life, certainly we will draw persecution. But we will also draw the blessing of God, and we may yet bring that blessing into the lives of others. Will you this day take up the cause of carrying the cross of Jesus, following him and counting not the cost? May God help you to do that, is my prayer. God bless you.
saints, the Treorchy Male Choir.
This is Heart and Soul, the music of the church throughout the ages.
Resource Christian Music faithfully produced a large series of recordings of popular Christian choruses from their Melbourne base and from their 24th CD, I Will Run to You.
Without love. No love between a man and a woman, between parents and children. Without love, there probably wouldn't even be friendship. It's a frightening thought. In the world's greatest act of love, God sent Jesus Christ into our world to restore us to the family of God. He makes it possible for us to love others, even our enemies. On the Spot from Lutheran Radio.
Thank you.
Jesus Can Satisfy, from the Don Marsh Orchestra and Brentwood Singing, and now from their CD commemorating their first 20 years of recording, the Maranatha Singers with He Is Our Peace. To God be the glory. The Ralph Carmichael Orchestra and Choir brings this edition of Heart and Soul to an end. Our speaker today was the Reverend David Evans.
If you've been blessed by Heart and Soul, why not drop us a line? Our email address is heartandsoulmusic@bigpond.com. Heart and Soul is an Australian program.